It's time for Sports Talk with Mike and the Crisis. Log on to KAZM Radio/sports or follow along on Twitter at KAZM Sports. And now here's your hosts, Mike Tabak and Rob Luscato.
Sports fans, welcome into Sports Talk, ESPN 780, KAZM. Glad to have you along with us. We've got lots to discuss from the weekend in sports, mainly from the weekend in football, which in case you didn't notice, every team that we thought was good, except for the Cardinals, lost this weekend. How's that? Well, just that'll be the rundown of the entire weekend's NFL action. Everybody that was good isn't this week, except for the Cardinals, who are not just good, they're great right now. They put up a nice little beat down on the Packers. Anyhow, welcome into the program. I am Mike Tabak, the Crisis, Rob Luscano, joining us via the phone lines. How are you?
Pretty good, man. How are you doing?
Good. Good Christmas?
Yeah, I was busy, you know. I had to go shopping last minute, of course.
Oh, yeah. That's how we roll. That is definitely how we roll.
I can't do the pre-Christmas shopping thing. I just can't do it, man.
I'm bad at it because I always end up giving the gifts to them early anyhow. I don't like to hold on to stuff. I'm a giver. I'm a nice giver, you know. And I just can't hang. I can't hold out that long. That's my biggest problem, you know.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. So what I've just decided to do is not give anybody anything for Christmas, and then I can give them that all year round.
See, that's the smart way of doing it right there.
Yeah. Very cheap, too. Very inexpensive. did you watch any of the football this weekend?
You know,
I know you did. You're in the kitchen.
I've been cooking my butt off at the main stage.
They don't serve anything but Rob's butt? Is that what you're telling?
Unbelievable, man.
It's on special?
I got to say so. First of all, I want to thank everybody that's been coming out there and eating and having a great time at Main Stage Live Theater there on Main and Mingus. We fed so many people the last 4 or 5 days, Mike, you have no idea. And it's a great feeling when I'm feeding somebody and they love the food. And then they tell me they love our show on Chasm.
Oh, now you just know they're nuts.
I don't know if they're crazy. I don't know what
crazy
it is, but,
people.
You know, it's a great feeling. And I don't know if they feel the same way when they see me and they come out and they see it's me from the radio show,
yeah.
And I'm also feeding them. But when I'm feeding them and they tell me that, I get chills, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's cool, man.
That's
you know,
cool.
I don't know what to say, actually.
That's
you know,
cool.
It's kind of a weird thing.
Well, you're always the nice one. You're the one that everybody likes and respects. You're the one that the public does not mind coming up to complain about me. So it works.
For the most case, that's what happens.
Yeah.
But the other day, they gave you major compliments.
Now we know that's where the crazy people go to eat.
I was wondering, what's going on there?
I've got a couple of people. I've turned them to the dark side. Is what it is. Yeah. That's awesome, though. You're in there on Sundays doing breakfast all day, so people ought to stop in and say hello and watch the games. You got all the games,
right?
Can't beat it. It's awesome.
And then we got Wednesday bingo. By the way, you've got to. Get off on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Get your butt over there. You're going to have a blast, Mike. It's from 7 to 9 on Wednesday nights every night. And the pots are $200, $250 per game. And it's a hoot, man. We have this MC. Her name is Penny Smith. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's not your grandma's bingo. It's an adult version bingo.
Nice.
Yes.
Is that where, like, each time you get a letter, somebody takes a piece of clothing off? Is
it? Well, it's close.
Yeah.
It's close, man.
Right on.
Yeah, but yesterday's football games, you know, I couldn't see them all, but I kept looking up, and I couldn't believe what the Packers, you know, laid an egg, of course. I mean, I wanted the Cardinals to win. I know you wanted the Packers to win.
Sure.
But when the Panthers lost, which, by the way, my Dolphins popped their champagne bottles.
Yep.
I think Larry Zonka popped a bottle of whiskey because I don't think he drinks champagne.
Nah, he's good. Yeah.
And when they lost, I'm thinking, you know what? Arizona may have home field advantage here if Carolina starts going on a little slump.
Wouldn't be the first time. Now, remember, Tampa Bay had a nice little lead on Carolina back in October.
Right.
And Carolina came back and won that by a couple touchdowns. But so it was a tougher game, and they put 27 points up on them, I believe, or something like 24,
yeah, no, I
maybe.
Think you're right.
So they put some points up on them. But interesting thing about what we saw yesterday is that I think there's proof that there's teams that can head in different directions. They had a difficulty beating the Giants, and frankly, for the last six quarters of football now, Carolina hasn't looked too fantastically on offense.
No, I think people are figuring them out. Look, when Ted Ginn is your prime receiver, I think you're short on talent.
Yeah, you got holes.
Yeah, and so I think people are figuring that out, and I think what's going to happen is when it gets to nitty gritty here, you know, the playoffs can be a different ballgame for you.
Yeah. And that kind of was like the look that the Packers had. They had a bad end to a game, although they won the game. And then the following game, they were just terrible. And it was like, boy, this is like five or six quarters in a row where we don't have any offense. Now that's turned into an entire second half of a season, essentially.
Right.
Packers still can't get open. I knew going into that game and talked about it actually with the old man before I went down to the game because I was at the game. Went down there and I just knew that with the Cardinals secondary, there was just no way we were going to get anybody open, the Packers. The Cardinals secondary is too good. I didn't know whether or not we'd be able to hold off to pass rush long enough for Rodgers to get something going. Obviously that was not the case. And we just got beat down. It was that simple that we just could not get anything going offensively. And I don't know what it is. I find it very hard to believe that they have a better offense in New England with just as many injuries at the wideout position than what we have. I think we have a better quarterback. I know Tom Brady's great, but I think the best quarterback in the NFL is Aaron Rodgers. So why is it we can't get open? How come, and you ever notice how many push-offs happen in the NFL that don't get flagged, yet the Packers get flagged for it all the time?
Well, that's all pregame talking to the refs, telling them what you're looking for.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how that happens. But, you know, the Packer receivers, as you know, they're not the best ones in the league. I mean,
right.
Jordy Nelson's gone for the season, and he's basically the only one they really have that's any good, I think.
Don't have a great tight end.
We've been talking about this for a couple of years since Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews got their big contracts, and then they signed that defensive end, Julius Peppers, for the big deal. I was wondering when it
signed Randall Cobb
the effects of lack of talent.
Yeah.
So it's showing up on your offensive line, and it's showing up on your receivers, I believe.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think 100% that it has hurt probably the most at the offensive line position. But at the receiver position, we've made some bad draft picks, too.
Yeah, we have. Sure. It's a weird thing, especially with an organization that knows how to draft.
Right. Devontae Adams is horrible. Devontae Adams is terrible. He does not run good routes. He does not put effort into his routes. He doesn't run hard. He doesn't catch the ball when he does get it thrown his way. If he's still got a job there in Green Bay next year, I'll be amazed. Otherwise, we had the problem. I think the guy that we drafted that was probably going to be pretty good was Ty Montgomery. And we just couldn't. He hasn't been in there all season.
Yeah,
he's had the high ankle sprain.
Too,
he's going to have an IR surgery and stuff. It's like, man.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm watching the game, and, you know, the Cardinals only scored all their points in the second and third quarters. They didn't score in the first quarter. They didn't score in the last quarter. So I know the last quarter was mostly mop-up.
Right.
But they scored 38 points in like 20 minutes, man.
Oh, it was boom, 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 boom.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was fast. It was a beatdown. And then it was over. And that's what I love about our Cardinal team. And I say I know, folks, I've never lied. I'm always first and foremost a Packer fan. But I was born in Arizona. I grew up in Arizona. I am a Cardinal fan. You know, the problem was is the Cardinals weren't here before me.
Right.
I was here before the Cardinals. So I have allegiances that I still hold on to from way back in the day. You know, the Cardinals came out here in 88. You know, I was sorry, but I was watching football already.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. So, and I enjoy watching the Cardinals. I'm not a Cardinals fan. I mean, I'm a fan as far as I love to see them win. I could care less who wins in this league anyways. But what I do enjoy is watching good football. And I got to tell you something. You don't see the play calling that you're seeing with Bruce Arians. And, you know, I haven't seen a pump and go in the NFL, and I can't tell you how long.
Right.
And they did it to perfection yesterday. I don't know if you remember that play. They pumped a little hitch to, I forget, number 15. They pumped a little hitch to him, and then Floyd. And then he went up the field, and he drilled right in the seam there between the safety and the corner.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful call that nobody does anymore.
I know, and there was a couple like that, and it's so close that it's like, oh, man, and we were lucky, you know, Green Bay was lucky to get a hand on something or knock something down or have it just be barely overthrown or something.
Right.
Oh, man, they could, I mean, they could have locked in, and I'll tell you what, it's impressive to watch. I don't think there's any team in the NFL that can really beat them if the Cardinals are on their game.
Yeah, that's the thing we're going to have to find out, if they're going to be on their game. The Seahawks losing again yesterday was kind of a weird thing, and I thought next week's game, you know, it could be still a tough game.
Yeah.
It's at Seattle, I believe, right?
No, it's here.
Oh, it's here? Oh, okay.
We already went into Seattle. Remember that was Carson Palmer's hip thrusting fine?
Right.
Yeah. But I got news for you, man. I would not be shocked if it's even more of a blowout and beatdown than what we gave them in Seattle. Now, remember, Seattle came back in that game, made it somewhat interesting. We ended up winning by one score, but we were up by like 17 points to start the fourth quarter. I mean, it was a beatdown, and they made it closer, but I wouldn't be surprised you don't see that this time. It's a home field advantage we've got there. It's awesome. There's not going to be more fans than what there were this week with the Packers. And there was actual boos when the Packers didn't do something and stuff like that. Otherwise, it's totally a home field advantage, and it's awesome. It's great to see in Arizona.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Seahawks are struggling. And you know, I think Russell Wilson keeps them relevant.
Yeah.
But they're struggling, man. And I think you're right. The Cardinals could just maybe steamroll these guys, and they should going into the playoffs. It'll be great. It'll be great momentum.
It really would be, and, you know, I think it would end up being what will make a difference maybe. Now, the flip side of that is, do we have to end up going through it? Maybe we do, and I don't know how the whole thing's going to shake out, because things right now can flip-flop quite a bit depending on what happens with Minnesota-Green Bay also. But if the Cardinals end up facing Seattle again in the postseason, it's really hard to beat a team three times in a year.
Oh, I know.
Really
the thing
hard.
Is, though, Arizona, they've got to win out, because there's a chance that Carolina loses in the first round of playoffs, and they would play Seattle probably.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll play Minnesota or Green Bay. You're right. Maybe I don't know who's going to play who, but see, I'm thinking Arizona may have home field throughout.
If Carolina loses and Arizona wins, then Arizona could have home field throughout.
No, even if Carolina wins this last game and loses,
and then
the
just
first
loses
game of the playoffs,
the first round, then Arizona's got home field from that point on.
Yeah.
No matter what, the beauty of it is that Arizona's got a home field game. It's to some degree we locked in the second seed, which means we'll be waiting on one of those other teams, either Minnesota, Green Bay, Seattle,
it'll be Washington, probably.
Washington.
Yep.
So those are the four teams that still have to play. Now, who's playing who, I don't know. But one of those teams will be the team that ends up coming into Arizona in the divisional round of the playoffs after the wild card matchup. So it's a good one, man. I love it. It was neat. We went down to the sidelines and got to see all the players and everything up close and take a bunch of photographs and whatnot. We got photographs with Jordan Sparks, the American Idol winner. She was there to sing the national anthem.
Right.
And that was cool. And it was just a lot of fun. I got my butt handed to me as a Packer fan, but as a defaulto or whatever you want to call it, Arizona boy, I've always been a Cardinal fan to some degree and you know, secondary to my Packers. So it didn't hurt as bad. Knowing it was neat to see the Cardinals look so good, better than they've ever been before in their you know, history. That's awesome. 13 wins, first time ever for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yep, that's incredible.
All right, we'll take a break. We come back on the other side. We're going to talk about some of the other teams that lost, such as Seattle, such as New England, such as Pittsburgh. I mean, we can go down the list. Everybody you thought was good, like I said, other than the Cardinals, lost yesterday. And one of those will lose tonight in Monday Night Football. So we'll discuss that, and we'll get into some more action. Stay tuned. You're listening to Sports Talk, ESPN 780 KACM. We're back right after this.
Yeah.
Welcome back in to the program, ESPN 780 KAZM. Brandon Whedon got the start yesterday for the Texans. So luckily, when he was canned by Dallas, he didn't have to move very far. He just stayed there in Houston.
Brandon Whedon, you mean?
Yeah.
Is he playing for the Texans?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, they're in the playoffs. If the season ended today, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, they most likely will be. Now, if they lose and Indianapolis wins, it's a very interesting thing, but there's a major breakdown that has to happen for Indianapolis to make the playoffs at this point. They're done. There's still an outside shot, but it's like six other teams have to lose also.
Well, if they beat the Steelers, if the Steelers lose again, are the Steelers in?
I think the Steelers miss out also.
Right now they're out,
yeah.
Right? I mean, they're in the hunt, I believe, but they're out right now. It's
yeah.
a weird deal.
Yeah, and the Jets control their destiny.
That's great for the Jets.
What?
I know it.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, but you know what? We kind of thought, push comes to shove, that they're going to have a pretty darn good defense. At the very least, we knew they were getting our defensive coordinator,
yeah,
Todd Bowles.
And Fitzpatrick has done a heck of a job as a quarterback there.
That's the cool thing.
Yeah.
Not enough people respect him for how hard he works. Did he go to Harvard?
He went to Harvard.
He's a smart guy. I mean, we're talking about a guy who could do a lot in life outside of play football. I'm not sure he could grow the beard out in the office setting somewhere, like on Wall Street. But he's enjoying playing football. And it's neat to see because he continues to get jobs and he continues to perform. Now, he's no Aaron Rodgers. He's no Tom Brady.
He's
good.
He's a methodical. He's steady. But like I tell you something, that's the kind of quarterback that coach needs. I think Bowles likes a guy like that. The defense controls the game. This guy doesn't screw up. You know, but I got to tell you something. The Patriots are in trouble. They've got to go through New York Jets or the Broncos or the Chiefs that are sack happy. I mean, it's not an easy road for the Patriots, as everybody thought in the beginning of the season. They were just gonna kill everybody. Even the Bengals, it's not an easy road for those guys.
Yeah, I'm the one of the worst at this, but I always take my Packers because I just believe they can be that good at any time. So at the beginning of the year, I thought Packers will have a struggle coming out of against Seattle and Arizona and stuff, but I think they'll be there. I didn't think Carolina would be doing as good as they have.
No, me neither.
But I didn't. You're right. I didn't think there was anybody that was going to contend with New England. I thought New England's going to win 13 or 14 games, and the next closest seed might have 12, which I thought might be the Broncos or somebody, but not, you know, I didn't look at the Patriots as having a struggle at all in that AFC.
The only thing you got going for New England is that you're going to be hosting all the playoff games unless they lose again. But you've got the Jets and Broncos going against each other and the Chiefs and the Texans. So I think either one of those teams could beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Texans may probably not, but the Chiefs, Broncos, and Jets and Bengals can compete with New England for sure.
Right.
And then on the flip side, you got Seattle. I guess Seattle and would go to Green Bay if it ended today. Is that right? Is that the seeding that I'm looking at, the 6-3?
Well, right now the deal is whoever wins, Minnesota or Green Bay, will win the division.
Right.
And the other one will have the sixth seed, essentially.
Well, let's say Seattle against Green Bay against in the playoffs for how many straight years in a row now?
Well, it'll be...
Think about it. It reminds me of the days when Favre was quarterbacking.
Yeah.
And you guys had to go through San Francisco every year.
Every year.
Remember that?
Yeah. And whoever was going to win that game was going to end up in the NFC title game. That was how it worked.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it was, you know, once, and that, you know, that was post, 49ers, Cowboys.
Right. Exactly. That was every year too.
Yeah. Cause that was every year up to 95 essentially. And then it was Green Bay from that point on. And then, you know, the Cowboys, or the 49ers stayed relevant for a couple more years, still, but those two would beat the crap out of each other. And whoever was left in the NFC championship game was almost default the guy that was going to move on to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So it's like a divisional series. The Cowboys and the 49ers have beat the crap out of each other. Then the 49ers would get to the NFC Championship and lose to Green Bay.
Yeah, and how many years did you guys always, everybody always thought, wow, that NFC Championship game was really a Super Bowl.
It really, yeah. It was. It was, yeah. I mean, it was right up to the point where, Elway drove the field in the fourth quarter of that Super Bowl to beat Brett Favre in Green Bay.
Right.
Right up to that point, it was NFC dominance for a long period of time. And it wasn't even close. And then, you know, once that happened, then Broncos won a couple in a row, and then the Patriots won. It's been a problem ever since.
Hey, let me ask you a question. I want to go back to the Green Bay Cardinal game. Did you see what Clay Matthews did to Carson Palmer, or what he didn't do to Carson Palmer?
No, I didn't.
He extended it. Carson Palmer was on the ground. He extended his hand to lift him up, and when Carson Palmer went to grab his hand, he took it back like psych.
Yeah.
And I know they both went to USC, and I know they probably know each other from, you know. Carson didn't play with him, but I know they probably know each other from that kind of deal.
Yeah.
Now, I laughed when I saw it, but then there's a bunch of things coming out about how bad that was, and I don't know if it's an unsportsmanlike kind of deal. But what people don't realize is that, you know, these guys probably know each other a little bit different than what we just see on TV.
Well, yeah, and the flip side to that, too, like you said, these guys did play together at USC, didn't they?
No, I
wasn't
think
that,
they did.
When Matthews, didn't Matthews come in right at the end?
Maybe. I don't know. I just see Carson as an older guy, much older, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
They've both been around a while now. I think they were both there to say they were both Pete Carroll guys.
Yeah.
You know, during that era. So.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
But yeah, and let's be honest, as much as two people who don't know each other, who never played sports, can be USC fans and just find loyalty within one another.
Right.
Guys that have that as an alma mater who played there for in virtually the same time frame, whether they knew each other or not, would probably have a relationship off the field. You know,
I would think
in other games or just something, you know, just an acquaintance kind of thing, and might have a joking kind of personality. Reality, though, is that I couldn't care less whether it was real or not. You know, I mean, you go back in the day, you think Dick Butkus helped anybody off the field?
No,
he would have stepped on your hand and spit in your eye before letting you up off the field. Stay down there, he would have said. Don't get up here. You don't want to come back up here. Yes, I don't. People are so sensitive now. It's like, oh my goodness, did you see what he did to poor Carson Palmer? He had to get off the ground himself. What the hell happened in the NFL, Rob?
Well, I'm just saying that if you're going to extend the hand out, you might as well, I wouldn't, you know, I don't know. I always try to teach the kids to be sportsmanlike and whatever, you know what I mean, when I'm when I was coaching, whatever. But when you're getting your butt kicked like that, it's frustrating, and I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where you just. But I think it was more of a fun thing with those two guys than anything else. So anybody that thinks differently, I think they're wrong.
Well, but you know what? Let's be honest. How long has it been since there's been an edge to a Green Bay defense? You know, we saw earlier in the year when Carolina scored and Cam Newton went to get the football, and Julius Peppers had it, and Cam wanted it. Peppers threw the thing off to the sidelines. Get the hell out of here. You go get the football over there. Get out of my face.
Did you see Cam, by the way, with his towel over his head finally?
Well, he's been wearing the towel but not ducking under it. He does that. That's his thing now. He puts the towel over his head and then tucks it into his shoulder pads like a hoodie.
Right.
Just his fashion sense, I guess. He's always working on it. But, he had it tucked down, but he finally had it pulled over his eyes a little bit, like, oh, God. This is not good. So, we got a big topic to discuss that we'll have to get into, and that, of course, is the weekend news about HGH and the NFL. That involves Clay Matthews. So we'll talk a little bit about that and the report that came out from We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll tell you more. Stay tuned.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind.
Welcome back here to Sports Talk, ESPN 780 KAZM.
Hey, Mike, before you start with the Peyton Manning HGH story, you know that ex-Globetrotter Meadowlark Lemon died?
Right.
83 years old, man. That guy, I tell you, he was fun to watch back in the day.
Yeah, I think Tom and I are going to do something on the duo with him tomorrow because we both got to see him with the Globetrotters.
Yeah.
When he was a kid, when I was a kid, he took me to see him.
So. Yeah, the guy was a stud.
But yeah, just very, very cool. Cool beyond the court.
Right.
And that's awesome. That's when I really like to appreciate certain players and people and personalities when they stand for something much greater than their gameplay. Big difference. Okay, so if you missed the news, I guess you could say it's a horse pucky, whatever you want to call it, story. It's ridiculous. It's already off of the front page of ESPN, and it's gone from the NFL's website and stuff. So I don't think we'll be hearing too much more about it anytime soon. When it came out over the weekend, it was very poor and tasteless journalism by Al Jazeera America, I guess. Of course, what was subsequently followed up on with a number of other media outlets and whatnot that just kept reporting on it. A report came out. This guy says, comes out, he says, hey, I was a pharmacist, and I prescribed HGH. I had it delivered to Peyton Manning's home in his wife's name so he wouldn't get in trouble for it. And what we're saying is that this we're starting to hear this is so ridiculous. Number one, this guy already recanted his story and said that he added names like Peyton Manning's to it to sizzle it up a little bit. And that it wasn't even really a real, truthful, I guess, report. It was something like a fake report that they were doing to try and catch somebody else doing something. It was stupid. And then it came out that he wasn't even a pharmacist, that he just worked there. So after all of that, people still had microphones in front of Peyton Manning, and I just felt so horrible for this guy. He's saying now that he will probably sue Al Jazeera for the HGH report. I hope he does. I don't know if he will. You have to go through a lot of effort. And I would like to believe that Peyton's beyond reproach now. You know, I think he's up there at a level where people say, you know what, this is a guy that we don't have to worry about telling the truth. He's being honest. You know, I don't know. What are your thoughts on the whole thing when you heard about
it? I got a different take, Mike, and I got to tell you something. He had the same injury. And I went back and I started looking at different quarterbacks. And, of course, I'm a Miami guy. So Bob Greasy gets sacked one time where his arm went overextended. His shoulder joint went overextended and
right.
Whatever. And he couldn't come back from that injury, and that's how he had to retire. He had trained neck muscles and shoulder muscles and nerves. And, you know, and then Marino comes back from a calf injury and does the same kind of injury. Couldn't get that nerve in his arm and his neck area to work. Peyton Manning gets it severed almost, right, or something. It was a weird neck, a nerve issue. And then he comes back, and he looked pretty good coming back from that injury. But in the beginning, the Colts dump him. They don't think he can come back from this because history told everybody that there's no way you can come back from this kind of injury.
Right.
Peyton Manning does. And we all know Peyton Manning was not a weight training a nutcase. You know what I mean? He wasn't in the gym like a Tim Tebow was or whatever, but he became He became one the last 4 or 5 years. He started training because he wanted to last longer and his neck injury. But this sounds so much to me like Debbie Clemens and Kristen Armstrong and these ladies that were caught in their husband's, Romanofsky's wife, that were caught in their husband's setup. I'm hoping that Peyton Manning is cleared and all this stuff, but this is a weird story, and the way he was upset in the camera, it reminded me of Tom Clemens just yelling at every, you know what I mean?
I didn't take it that way at all. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, man, because Lance Armstrong, same kind of thing, where he was angrily denied everything.
But there was a crack in Peyton's voice. Peyton looked more hurt than angry to me. He was
upset. Was it hurt or was it caught? I mean, that's
I think he looked more hurt. And you're right. Maybe he's caught. Maybe he knows the jig's up, and that's why he's sad, or that's why his voice cracks a little bit. I'm not going to get into all that. But I can tell you that it didn't look the same to me. There was no finger wagging. I have never taken this like Rafael Palmeiro. There wasn't the same kind of thing that we saw out of Roger Clemens and the angry denials from Barry Bonds over the years. You know, that kind of that I didn't get that vibe. I didn't get that vibe. I got a vibe from a guy who was trying to be somewhat eloquent without saying mother puff,
but right.
And maybe that was part of the control. I don't know, but
I'm looking at a guy who's 38 years old or whatever the heck he was, and he had that injury. And they said, "Listen, man, the only way you're going to come back from this is if you do this. It's not going to be detectable. Blah blah. Whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? I mean, I think about it. Wow, I can stay another couple years. He's only won one Super Bowl out of an 18-year career. He's probably not happy about that.
Right.
I mean, why? It's weird. It's just a weird thing that this happens like this to a guy like that. And then for it to go under the rug here, which apparently is what's going to happen here, is kind of funny to me.
Well, I don't think it's funny at all. I think that's what happens when the media doesn't want to push the envelope beyond where it's supposed to go. Now, the reality, folks, is that if the media has come out with a report, they could beat a dead horse, so to speak. If they know it's a dead horse and they could beat it to death, and that's where everybody says, well, the media is manipulative and they're doing this and they're doing that to push everything in this direction. Well, but they're trying to report the truth. You may not like it or you may think that they're going overboard with it, but what they have are facts. In this case, they obviously don't have those or they would beat this into the ground. I got news for you. They have no problem doing that. They beat the NFL into the ground over concussions, and that involved everybody in the NFL. We're talking about a couple of guys. So I don't think that's it at all. Otherwise, you wouldn't see that everywhere across the board. The only news story you're finding now is the story that says Peyton Manning may sue.
Right.
Not anything about facts or doctors or who's doing this. This was poor reporting by an offshoot network. And I say offshoot. Al Jazeera may be a major news entity worldwide, but not for sports reporting in America. These were guys taking a leap to join the ranks of Deadspin and TMZ and all that stuff, and they got it wrong. And I don't know if they'll have to pay the price for it. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that or how that happens or how they clear that stuff. But another story kind of weird like that is that apparently Chris Berman from ESPN is the focal center of a settled sexual harassment claim.
I don't doubt it.
With a makeup artist named Sue Ballman.
Yeah.
Apparently she had an affair with Chris Carter back in 2013. But this guy, what the report says is that, what she says, is that, by the way, she hired Gloria Allred.
Oh, sure.
And they settled for no undisclosed amount of money.
Interesting.
She worked there for 6 or 7 years. Anyways, texts, text messages, emails, sexual harassment, conversations, things like that. With nothing says that she fooled around with him.
Hmm.
At least that I'm reading. But
it sounds like it was he was harassing her and she wasn't up for it or didn't
apparently
appreciate it. And what she did was keep a paper trail until she got fired.
Right.
So she lost her job there. Otherwise, she, why come out after 6 years or whatever? I'd be willing to bet that after the Chris Carter thing and then with the Berman stuff, they said, we don't want this gal around anymore. This gal's a problem.
Sure.
And now she says, well, guess what? I have this whole trail of text messages and everything else pointing to your ESPN darling, Chris Berman. And ESPN says, okay, you win. Here's your money. I don't doubt that at all. Chris Berman's an ass. There's just no question about it. That much I have known for a while now, from people behind the scenes. What you see on camera, is what you get. But when off camera, this is a guy who doesn't mind yelling at the help, and treating people like dirt.
Sure.
From what I've understood.
Hey, by the way, I'm reading something on Rodney Harrison. Remember, he had a 4-game suspension back in 07.
Right.
Well, he says here that he used HGH, and after he used it, he never had an issue with his groin again.
Hmm.
Wow.
When did he say that? Did he say that last night?
Last night. The headline says, HGH will make you rich and famous, but kids shouldn't use it.
Wow.
you've been talking about that for years as far as, you know, why not take it for a year and then get your billions of dollars.
Right.
By the time you get caught, you're already done anyways.
Well, I mean, I got news for you. You know, we've been through everybody's had financial problems lately, you know, but you go through that and it's like, boy, one questionable thing here or there, you don't really hurt anybody. Why not? You know, cash a check and get on with your life. Wouldn't it be nice?
Who are you cheating on at that point? Anybody? I guess
the legacy of the league is if there is one for the NFL. It's not like baseball where it's where there's this legacy. But at that point, you're really just cheating yourself, your team, your city. You know, if you get caught, that's who gets hurt.
Clay Matthews is in the middle of it again. You know, he was accused of it.
Oh, he's at
UFC.
Poor guy, yeah.
He's pissed.
Oh, yeah. Well, you get guns in the NFL, and, man, you're on the roster. Everybody throws your name into it. And some of that is justified. Because, remember, we went back. Remember the Cardinals 13 years ago had
who was that receiver?
Michael Pittman. They had the receiver out of Notre Dame. What was his name?
I don't remember, man. But they had a bunch of
Bolton?
No.
Wasn't Bolton?
No, Bolton was stock. He was from Florida State, but
not Bolden.
Oh,
Boston. David Boston. Yeah, David Boston. Both these guys, Michael Pittman, remember, had huge guns, and then Michael Pittman got hurt in trouble for beating up his girlfriend or his wife or whatever, and then we got rid of him. He ended up in Tampa Bay,
right,
and had a career there. That never would have. How is it that stuff happened there? Nowadays, you can't do that. And it's weird how, you know, we just choose what we want to care about when at different times. I remember thinking what had happened. It's like, man, the Cardinals better cut this guy. I can't believe they're going to let this steroid freak who just roid raged all over his girlfriend or his wife or fiance or whatever it was, and they're going to keep him in the NFL. And then he went to Tampa Bay and did it again.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, wow, I can't believe he did it again. Really? So shocking? Unreal. What are you going to do, man? The world's changing, and we either are all too sensitive about some things and not sensitive enough about others. It's the weirdest thing. It is the weirdest thing. We're so sensitive about little things, and we let big, huge stuff like professional athletes beating their children to blood with sticks, and we don't care. How does that even work? You know, does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense at all.
All right, it's not me then. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got more here, Sports Talk. ESPN 780 KAZM. We're back after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk, ESPN 780 KAZM. UFC 195 coming up, and that's going to feature the likes of Robbie Lawler and Carlos Condit. Lawler putting his 7-fight win streak on the line, and this for the welterweight championship. The interim welterweight champion right now is Carlos Condit, and they'll be fighting this Saturday, January 2nd, at the MGM Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Okay, so be sure you're tuned in on your Suddenlink pay-per-view, UFC 195. If you don't have Suddenlink, you still got time to get it, maybe in time for the fight, but they have pay-per-view fights like this all the time, so you can get it and then just get in the line for the next one. But UFC 195 this weekend featuring the likes of Robbie Lawler and Carlos Condit going at it for the welterweight championship that has been left in the interim hands of Carlos Condit right now. Lawler putting his welterweight championship on the line. And it'll be a good one. I like this. Should be a fantastic bout between a couple of guys. Lawler is the champ. Condit was the former interim champ. So it'll be a good one. It'll be a good fight. Suddenlink pay-per-view. If you go to suddenlink.com, you can see how you can get Suddenlink. You can find out how you can save money and get the highest speed internet in the area, plus HD TV service, their SL200 package for just $69 a month. TV and 50 megs of internet and phone for just $50 or $69 a month. Find out how. Give them a call, 204-1085. Again, that's 204-1085. 1085 or go to suddenlink.com. Again, suddenlink.com. Looking at the weekend in football, we now know some teams that just aren't going to be there at the end. Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles come to mind. The biggest failures of the year. The Buffalo Bills are done. You look over at the Ravens, they're done. Some of these are major failures. Who's the biggest failure this year?
Well, I think every year you look at the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't know why they get so hyped up in the beginning of the season every year.
Well, they were good last year. You have to give them that. They were good last year.
You got a guy like Tony Romo who's just always hurt. He's not. He's done. Yeah. You guys, he's done. I can't see this guy coming back and ever being relevant again. Jerry Jones, I think he's a master of hyping up everything. And, you know, he hadn't said a word, by the way, the last few weeks. They're 4-11 and they suck.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to get a high draft pick next year, maybe. Maybe they'll get Johnny Manziel or RG3. Who knows? You know what I mean?
Right,
somebody
right, yeah.
In there. But I think the Cowboys, to me, are the Ravens. You know, they got injuries. They got hurt. They had a bunch of guys go down, and the quarterback went out. So I mean, I think that was understandable. I think it's the Cowboys for me.
Yeah, the Cowboys are interesting because they were good last year, and but there were so many moves made, like losing your top running back, not knowing the medical future of Tony Romo one day to the next.
Losing your locker room to a bunch of knuckleheads that you used to
The addition of Greg Hardy. I kind of thought that one was going to implode. I honestly did. And I know you did too. When they added Hardy and they didn't bring back Murray, you and I both looked at each other and said, well, there goes that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the only thing we thought was, well, maybe Witten and Romo are that strong a presence that they could still control that locker room from Dez Bryant and, but obviously we were wrong. And Joseph Randle, don't forget, little
right.
criminal that he was
right.
the starting running back to start the year. Not a great recipe for success there. But I look at the Eagles and say, man, I don't know if we're surprised. We saw the moves made in the offseason, and I said, boy, this could work. This could work. This could work. And then on the other side, we were saying, you know what? This guy's a nut job. Look at all these moves he's making. He's got to be crazy.
You know, and you know I'm a big Tim Tebow fan, but I
yeah.
thought when they got rid of him, I thought he really screwed up that locker room. And I think Tebow could have been the guy helping this team out better than what Bradford has done.
Oh, yeah.
I personally just think that. It's the offense that's built for a guy like that, not for a guy like Sam Bradford.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Even without Tim Tebow being the starting quarterback, he could have controlled that locker room.
Yep.
And now you don't have that. And you got guys running amok. DeMarco Murray is not happy there. You got Ryan Matthews really is the starting back now. That's a battle there, and it's not a happy place. You have these dynamic personalities that are all kind of flaring up at the same time. And the common word is that Chip Kelly's lost the locker room, that he's lost the respect of the players. If you're the Eagles, Jeffrey Loria, do you keep him as coach, fire him from general manager, or do you let this ride another year?
I just think he is obvious he can't do it both.
Yeah.
I think either the GM's coming or you get rid of him and you're going to have to hire two guys. But he just can't do it all. I mean, he just didn't do a good job this year doing any of that stuff.
No, I agree. That was just bad. Ohio State running back Ezekiel Elliott involved in a minor car crash Sunday before he left with the team for the Fiesta Bowl. Cited for driving under a suspended driver's license. Failure to control his car after he was involved in a crash. 1:30 p.m. Columbus, Ohio. So do you think that affects if he plays in the Fiesta Bowl or not? Let's be honest. This is Urban. Right?
Oh, I think Urban has three guys in the wings waiting for this guy to, you know. So I don't think so.
You don't think he plays?
I don't think he'll play, and I don't think it'll affect Ohio State.
No, yeah, I think he'll play, but I don't think it'll make one bit of a difference. Yeah. And I think it'll play, and people will question whether or not Urban Meyer should have played him or not. You know, it will be very similar to what we've seen before. All right, folks, thanks for joining us on Sports Talk. Enjoy the rest of your day. We will see you tomorrow.